Sunday, January 12th. We woke up at Camp David to snow and serenity and fire burning in the fireplace. And the highly satisfying company of Bob and Marge McNamara and their son, Craig. Lyndon went to church that morning, a little Episcopal church down in the village of Thurmont that turned out to been rather like at my own St. Barnabas in Fredericksburg. I'm sorry I didn't have the get up and get to go with him. Marge and I went for a walk in the 12-degree weather with every breath blowing out in front of us like a banner. There were frequent calls about Panama from Cy Vance and other people in McNamara's staff. But somehow or another, at Camp David, there's an insulation that keeps you from being terribly worried about what's going on in the world around you. About 11 o'clock, Senator Dick Russell and Marianne Means came out, and we sat down in the big living room, looking out through the picture window, down onto the Valley of Maryland. And Senator Russell began to try to get us placed geographically, and he said, "I think we're close to Antietam," and then he began to recite the story of a great Civil War battle. General Robert E. Lee had distributed his orders to his general. One luckless general had lost his. They had been found in the forest, wrapped around a couple of cigars by a Yankee sergeant, taken to McClellan. At first McClellan thought they were a hoax. Then he acted upon them, gathered his troops, and there ensued the bloodiest battle of the Civil War, one of the bloodiest of all times. Later on, when I was telling Linda Bird about it and about how interestingly Dick Russell told it, I said, "Honey, that's one of the reasons why I want you up here, because you know so much about history and you like it and you like politics, and I want you to listen to these people I listen to." And she said, "Yes, Mama." And if McClellan had sense enough to round up all of his troops and pitch right in aggressively, he could have ended the war 2 years before he did. I asked Senator Russell about that after I'd gotten off the phone call with Linda, and he says, "That's entirely right. He could have." We had a late lunch, a very short nap, a little bowling. We tuned in on my TV show, which was a catastrophe. It was as bad as I had thought it was going to be. That is, just a moment, the bits from Pennsylvania were good. I liked them. The whole week was good. But the 5 minutes with me down in the library, I looked just as old and just as frenetic and just as tired and just as unprepared as I was. And if I'm not smart enough to get the moral out of that, then I'm not smart at all. No more unprepared things. No more things when I am not well briefed in what I'm going to do. For once, I read all the articles in the paper about my trip to Pennsylvania, enough to even satisfy Liz. Dorothy McCardle had an especially good one, and Nan Robertson's was nice. I guess the best thing about today is that there was actually some time for reflection, some time to think about the changes that have come into our life. For one thing, some of the physical aspects of how these agonizing days have affected me. I've been cold all the time. I wanted a sweater when nobody else has wanted a sweater. I haven't had any appetite, and I've lost 5 pounds. That part of it's good. Another part that is good is that I find that we say grace at table all the time. Lyndon looks around and chooses somebody, and we just naturally do. And that is fine. A little while for contemplation in a day is a thing much to be desired. I believe if we could have about 1.5 days like this out of 7, I'd have steam enough to tackle whatever else takes place.